Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. There are such flavors to us. This is what repression inquiry shows us. Such flavors that we finally get to be ourselves. I just want to cry when I sit and talk about it because I get to live it all day long. Okay, I am crying. Oh, yeah. Because I live it every day, this freedom. And people don't know what it is. I mean, unless you have this freedom. And I try to express it. I'm just really grateful for having truly to be able to experience this depth of freedom in this lifetime is just, I don't know how do you pay it. You don't pay back. You can't pay that back. Pay it forward to others. I just don't know where to start. If you only knew what was already inside you, if you already knew that you had everything that you needed in this lifetime. And I don't mean like you've got an RV and a camper for those trips that you've been wanting to take somewhere in your belly. I'm just saying you have everything you need and you don't know it. That's what makes me cry. Because people don't know. You know, if you're a teacher and you're not touched by the suffering of people, what the fuck are you doing? And I wouldn't allow myself to be touched by it because I was suffering myself, as you guys know. I had chronic pain. That was a way of me storing emotions. Depression is a way for us to store emotions. Anxiety, addictions, those are ways that we store emotions. So when you stop storing them and they're all here, and then there's awareness so that they can all be allowed, it's truly a divine. Yeah, it's divine. It's God. It really is. If there's a God, it's this. It's the God. It really is. I've seen it in people's eyes. I've seen God. I see God through my eyes. But not the God that people talk about. It's such a poor substitute for this. This is it. This is the thing that people kept wanting to know throughout history. But they couldn't because they didn't have their consciousness. They were unconscious. So they kept looking outside of themselves like they do for everything. We do it for everything to get love and safety. And we were doing the same for God. And we believe in God because those beliefs keep us safe. The belief God isn't real, it keeps us safe. But when we say God, this is what people were always trying to get to is if I can see God in my eyes and or through my eyes and I can see it in your eyes, we're all going to be okay. But if I can't, we're going to suffer. And we've been proving that theory. Humanity has proven it. That if we don't find God within, we're going to destroy each other, or worse, have to live with each other in separation and not destroy each other. I don't know if that's worse, but the world is the world. It's interesting that I'm doing this on Election Day. Because I don't know, I feel inspired to speak to people. Because we're not going to experience any major transformation from this election. Well, we don't know. But look, we keep looking outside of ourselves. Whereas, like, some person is going to come along and make it all better. And we need good leaders. But we need our own consciousness first. We need to wake up to allow it all so that we can feel each other. We've been thinking each other. And so we've never met. There's not a single conservative that's met a liberal. They haven't met. They're projections of each other and from trauma. No, we've all got to find God within, but not the God that the Christians or anyone else are trying to push on us. It's to find ourselves, to discover what we are. There's an awakeness within us that is not a belief system. There's consciousness. This is consciousness. We are that. And when you fully realize and embody that, it's unmistakable that that's what they were referring to when they said God. But it's not a person. It's not like I am God or you are God. That's the ego. It's just, I'm telling you, I've watched it in the eyes of other people. That's why I know it's true. You don't get it. You haven't seen it. I have. Maybe you have. But I've watched somebody, I've watched a few people actually, quite a few, go through a very deep transformative process that touches me. When they say people can't change, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Their transformation is absolutely possible. We just don't want it. We're afraid of it, but change is absolutely possible. People say sometimes that every 2 or 3 months they have a different consciousness here. And I've seen it. I've trained and mentored people where when they start, they can't open to their vulnerability. It's repressed. They can open to anger, or somebody who can open to vulnerability, but they can't open to the frozen anger. But I'll just tell you, just watching the vulnerability repression, looking at somebody who can't, like they can't, anger repressors can often access vulnerability, not always. But watching somebody who cannot do that and then go through this process and watching tears come to their eyes, because it's just so powerful. It's not tears. You don't understand. This is transformation. This is a lifetime where the sense of separation in that person's body was holding on in a very rigid way to this fear of being vulnerable. And so as that melts, you can see it. Well, you know how the Course in Miracles is in a professional setting. The book was dictated by somebody in a professional setting where there were a lot of egos and ego stuff going on. Well, I've worked with people, just for example, someone in a professional setting where when they first came to me, I could feel the rigidity and the self-protection. This person who has to go to work every day and kind of fend for their emotional life. Really a very kind of toxic environment. And then through this process, seeing that person open to the frozen vulnerability inside over the course of several months, because our repression does not want to just free us automatically. It's a process. But watching those tears come to his eyes in a very authentic way, like, it touches me. I'm trying to explain why. Because I've gone through that process. I spent 50 years making sure I never felt anger. So when that came through, that was a divine experience to finally allow that part of myself and all the insights and the freedom that came with that. Unless you've done that work, it's impossible to know how deeply freeing it is. And then to watch someone else go through it, but at the other side of the coin, at the side of the vulnerable emotions that are repressed, and then to watch the tears come to his eyes, it wasn't just a man crying. When he started to show tears, I felt his power. And that was a power beyond him. That was like God. Because he had spent his whole life being angry. That was like the only emotion that he expressed. To see those tears come through in a very real way, it felt so powerful. In his life, he had always told himself that those tears are weak. He had lied to himself. But, you know, God is the truth, so to speak. Just sticking to that theme, is it because when he actually allowed it all, the vulnerability, his power came into being. And it was much more powerful than anything that he believed. So much more powerful to see that come through his eyes. Because I saw presence come through the eyes. What people don't understand, if they don't do repression work, is that the repression keeps us from embodying presence, from being here now. Trauma does. Many people know it now. That's exactly what was happening for him. He had spent years in a spiritual setting. You know, just thinking of his suffering as, I need a spiritual way out. And he came to KI for that. But what he found is that all that time that he had focused on being awareness, he couldn't live it. He couldn't embody it because of the repression. So to live and embody that presence in front of me, to watch that happen, and it wasn't just an awakening. I've been with people who woke up to presence. This is deeper than this. This is the embodiment of that. This is so, yeah, it's profound, embodiment is, because it's a real deep living and embodying what you are. That's different than just having a shift, you know, of sorts where, okay, there's presence. Right, it doesn't matter. If you can't live and embody that, you're going to continue suffering. That's how it works. And he did too. And that's why he came to KI. I was really touched by that because I've seen, he's this hurt and sadness repressor, and I've seen hurt and sadness repressors in my life and even in KI who couldn't take it all the way because, you know, they wanted love and approval. That's what stops us, is unmet needs and fear. It's so unfortunate too. I mean, having gone through this work, I can tell you that our system is stopping us what it thinks for good reason to keep us safe in the bypass. But truthfully, we're fooling ourselves because to feel and express everything is what we want. It's what gives us our freedom. But we're just so conditioned to think that somehow we can make an end run around that. Like somehow we don't have to deal with what's buried or we don't want to, but we do because we want that freedom. We want to look through the eyes of God. We want to live it. We want to embody it. We want it to be there with us everywhere we go, those of us who are seeking it, but we're afraid. And it's that frozen fear in the body that I talk about all the time, like in the episode Frozen Presence, that's truly stopping us from living and embodying what we are. And if we focus on that fear in the body first, we truly get to live and embody what we are. But if we just go for presence or awareness like he did before he came to KI, he couldn't live and embody that. He couldn't truly look. You can't see through the eyes of God unless you can do it in relationship. It's not real unless it's lived and embodied. It's self-protective. It's what is it? It's a start, is what it is, but it's not the freedom. And I didn't want it to be about embodiment either, because I wanted a quick fix into awakeness so I could just get love and approval and stay safe from buried emotions. But that whole agenda was hidden, and it's hidden in you too. You think in your consciousness at some level that if you can wake up without having to feel what you've buried, you'll do it. Right? I mean, you may not be conscious of that, but everybody has that very deep no to what they've buried. So think about it. We're on a path And we're thinking that we're going to get free somehow. We're going to try to make it happen by not feeling the driver of suffering that's buried. That's why when somebody goes to the driver of suffering, it's so divine to watch it, because it's real. And it's not just somebody trying to stay safe and just bypass or bamboozle themselves. It's so awesome to watch, really. I know that for the United States, this election is important. And that's why I wanted to release a podcast today. Because it's election day. But Dan and I have been talking about what content we want to put out there for the election, because we know it's important. You have to understand, it goes really way far back with me and Dan, politics. We used to be diehard liberals. We are not conservatives now. I can't speak for Dan and his politics, but let me speak for myself. I used to be a diehard liberal. And, you know, we've seen so much trauma on the liberal side, including buried anger. And we were a part of that. And we're waiting for something new to arise. I think I know I am here on earth, because the party system is so divisive and so coming from trauma that no matter who we elect, it will create division. Because of how we do politics, we do it from this really strict duality. And as Dan said, sometimes the duality is that a lot of Democrats and liberals are anger repressors, and a lot of conservatives are hurt and sadness repressors. But it's not always that way. But a lot of it is, and with buried anger, both of us, me and Dan, we were liberals. So an election for us, had we not done this work, would have just been, well, go for the liberal candidate. By the way, I'm not telling you who I'm voting for. So if you think that means I'm voting for Donald Trump, I'm not telling you any of that, because it's not important. I don't want people to look at how I vote as something having to do with whether they do this work. Because first of all, I do not, and I'm pretty sure Dan agrees, but he can speak for himself. I do not feel like I belong or want to belong to conservatives or liberals. I don't, it's not that I'm, it, you will feel this way too, because you'll see how much trauma is in politics if you haven't already, that we're driven by dad and mom stuff largely, and then some environmental and other factors, familial factors, but that's all it is. And we're going to kill ourselves over stuff we're dreaming up. That's how serious these elections are if we're not careful about how conscious the people are that we vote into office. The only thing I'm interested in is the consciousness of the person. I'm not interested in the person's views. Those are secondary, because views are views. The views are important, but look, if you're the kind of person who not controls your emotion, but can regulate and allow your emotions and be clear that you are taking the role of being responsible for the rest of us in certain ways, that's a really important role, and unconsciousness can't do that very well. So I always vote for that. I'm not going to tell you who I'm voting for. Instead, because I'm not a fan of either side, really. I just want to appeal to the people who feel the election day like I do. And maybe that's you. Hey, look, if you're really into politics and you're sitting there waiting for the election results today or tonight for your candidate to win, you might not even hear this episode. Just come back next week. But if you're someone who you knew that you needed to vote because it's important, but you don't have a lot of faith in the system, let's talk for a moment, because this is what I want to talk about on election day. We actually care as humans a lot and very, very deeply about everything, but it doesn't mean that it feels safe to care. And although there are a lot of anger repressors who are liberals, there are a lot of anger repressors who are apathetic and who have checked out of politics, and a lot of them are in spirituality. And I totally understand why you checked out, because look at that system. But be careful with the belief system, because it is a belief system that somehow, because you've done some spiritual work or you've discovered who you are or you're discovering it, that somehow you're, what you think about politics or politics somehow are not important. I did that for many years, because when I did politics, I always did it from trauma. So I just didn't want to go back to politics as trauma, obviously. I spent those 10 years of repression as a teacher with anger repression completely checked out of politics. Now, that's an issue because I grew up, my dad was a local politician, and I ran for office as a prosecutor. I was active in politics before spirituality on the liberal side. The spirituality not only transformed me out of the two-party system or the party system, but it made me apathetic first. And this is the inertia or the repression of spirituality, where anger and other repression and trauma doesn't get dealt with. So when people come to spirituality, they get lulled into often checking out of worldly things like politics. It's what I did. I didn't understand why, though, and I thought it was spirituality that checked me out, that somehow I was recognizing my true nature. So all that, those politics, that's all just illusory, and those people are just fighting. And that is complete bullshit, because it is illusory and those people are fighting. But when we use spirituality to justify an apathy or fear even, then we're lying to ourselves. And I did for 10 years. And I'm telling you that people do in spirituality, they'll drop out of the political conversation because there's so much ego in it. And I understand why. But a lot of anger repressors are pulling out of their lives, their relationships, politics, the world, to come to spirituality. And because it's already not safe to care, it's like spirituality gives people almost like a ticket not to care and to feel justified, but not to call it apathy. And I don't know how much teachers contribute to this. I don't actually think they do that much, but if they do, they should be. That's not good, because if you listen to the message here, we're on an avoidant spiritual path. In my view, most people are actually, because of trauma. So what are we avoiding? We're avoiding our own emotions. Therefore, we can't live and embody being human. And so being human, living and embodying, means dealing with the tough issues. If there's one thing you learn here, you learn it, is that you deal with the tough issues because you want to, because you always disconnected from that before and you know that suffering. So you just face your emotions quite naturally here. You'll see it's not a task. It's just what you do because you don't suffer. And you know what suffering is, it's not dealing with it. So when I did anger repression work, I just started dealing with the hard stuff in my relationships. And I started looking at the hard issues in politics again, because it felt safe to be myself, to feel and express anger. So I had my power and therefore my safety online. I could go back into these topics. I'm trying to tell people, it's not spirituality that takes you out of politics, it's repression and trauma. And spirituality just helps by giving us a different worldview, but it's still a worldview. And it's a worldview that often pushes politics out, because spirituality is like a prophylactic. It has a prophylactic. Different traditions have a prophylactic around them. Nothing gets in and nothing gets out. We don't talk about politics. We don't even maybe know what's going on, right? And that's more a product of people checking out than it is spirituality. But you can't know that until you embody presence. And I would debate anybody on that, because one of the first things that happened for me when I did repression work is like turning towards relationship and saying, I want to feel and express what's true now. I actually want authenticity. I want freedom in my relationships. And then I want that in the world now. So it's just natural to be interested in what's happening in the world because I feel safe to do that. With trauma, the world just feels so unsafe all the time. And there's always this division between like what I believe and what they believe on the other end of the table. And we're so focused on just being right instead of hearing. And people with repression can't hear. So we're not, it's the two-party system is never going to work because of trauma and repression and our inability to not only express what's true, but hear each other. I didn't understand that with my anger repression, even though I was quiet and always appeared like somebody who was listening to all perspectives, I wasn't. I was just appearing that way because anger repressors have to appear that way. But with anger repression, you're self-protecting when you're listening. And often anger repressors can't speak their truth. So they sit quietly with their truth buried in their body, afraid to express it. And then they check out of politics when they get to spirituality because they get a reason to, because their teacher talks about the world as being illusory. But whoever gets elected, those decisions impact you even if you've checked out. Maybe not always directly, but we know that they do, because we know that if a nuclear war happens, you don't get an exception for doing spiritual work. We all directly connect and affect each other. But with repression, it's just too scary. And so some people go into the two-party system to deal with their fear. They take refuge in a positioning against another party, and that keeps them safe. And some people just check out of spirituality, and that keeps them safe. But how will we ever deal with the issues in the world if we either keep fighting because we can't hear, or we keep checking out because it doesn't feel safe? And yet this is the state of humanity because we have trauma. We're just still trying to do it anyway. Still trying to do politics with our trauma and killing each other and not hearing each other. If you take something like climate crisis, if you took the trauma out of it and it were just a bunch of beings on Earth living in different places, they'd probably want to talk about it, and they'd probably want to listen to each other and try to find the truth of what's really going on. We can't do that on something that important. That's why the party system has to go, is because we just can't hear each other. Like we can't hear each other when there are certain issues that affect all of us. If we would listen to each other, maybe we would learn that climate change isn't really happening. Maybe we would learn that it is. Maybe we would learn that it's not as bad or that it's worse than we thought, but we'll never learn any of those things. Really, we might learn them, but we won't hear each other. Because it's trauma, it's repression that just doesn't feel safe. It's identity politics more than anything. It's I get to be somebody in politics, that ego that says, even with good intentions, I'm going to make a difference. But the only difference you're really going to make in this world is when you wake up and make the unconscious conscious, and then you make a real difference. But as long as you keep going into the voting booth with the fear in your body of still your mom and dad and of what happened to you, you bring that fear to everyone else with your vote or with your arguments. We contribute suffering into the political arena when we don't see that we create our own suffering. We do it to ourselves, but we blame others. If going back to what I started with, if you could truly feel and express everything within you, you would be a different human. You would be awake to your experience. You would see the whole thing differently. The separation comes from the repressed emotions. If I hold back what's true, I'm forced to identify with beliefs and worldviews that aren't true because I have to stay safe from what I've buried. So I'll fight tooth and nail for my democratic or conservative principles as long as it means I don't get hurt. Like I was in childhood, like my dad, I'll fight tooth and nail. That's what we're doing. But we call it politics. It's such a dangerous game to be working out our trauma that way and not just processing our trauma. I long for a day when there's an earth where in schools, the most important thing is that we just don't churn out more kids with trauma and addiction and mental health issues. And that's our first primary focus. And then all the other subjects, they come into alignment when you don't have a world of suffering. We want to explore and create and do all those things that humans do. But when we keep churning out addicts and kids with trauma, our focus is off. And then we have to do a bunch of politics as adults to try to figure out what went wrong. Well, what went wrong is that the way we teach our kids, we make math more important than consciousness, than being awakened and embodied, conscious, authentic human. We make politics more important than that. We got it all backwards. It's just my view. Can't become any more divisive by putting my view in there. I think this is a vote for everyone. I think that you'll see when you open to what you are and embody it, you actually do have a universal care. You really do. That you don't see the other as the other anymore. You know that whatever you think and feel, it has an effect on that other. And vice versa. When you're clear, it's not us versus them anymore. It's just us. We're not there yet. But maybe by listening and doing this work or similar work, we will. I can't imagine that you would come to work with me after listening to this, because this is a special episode just for the election. But if it inspires you in some way, I have a 90-day intensive where we get to the root of all that suffering in a one-on-one, very customized way, where we get to know each other and you get to know this work exactly as we developed it. My objective is to help you become a master at it for your own benefit. And then there's a group. If you click on the link in the description, it allows you to come talk to me for free about working with me one-on-one. I ask you to take the test at repressiontest.com first. But if you don't want to work with me one-on-one, there's a Jumpstarter group right when you click that link at the top of the page. That's for people who want to learn the work, but they don't want to do one-on-one. Thank you for listening. And whatever the election results are, wishing everyone peace, love, authenticity, wisdom. Yeah, all of that. Thanks for listening.